There are a number of scriptures that call us to compassion and concern for our neighbor. We've chosen two from Proverbs 14. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We're happy to have Princess Zulu with us this morning, and thankful to the Acting on AIDS group for bringing her here, and we wait upon her.
All right, I am looking for my watch so that I don't take you on Zambian time. Good morning. Are you excited to be in this place this morning? Wonderful. I know that it's not mandatory for you to be in chapel. I've been taught that, so I see that all of you came on your own will. So I thank God for that. And also now, from now onwards, you know, Acting on AIDS, we have been traveling to over 40 campuses by the time we finish this tour. And I'm going to change my picture now. There is a picture many of you will see in front of this folder. That is me when I was in college, actually, at Geneva College. And so that is what I'm going to be telling people from now onwards. However, I'm very excited to be here, and with me there is a colleague, Christy Dox. She is actually the country and national coordinator for Acting on AIDS. But I will tell you that I've received a wonderful welcome, me and my colleague, Christy Dox, here. We have just had a wonderful time of the Acting on AIDS students, one of them that had to stay at work for us as we arrived almost at 01 a.m. And then this morning, just to be directed to this place, your president, Mr. Ken Smith, I think, and also a lot of Smiths, David Smith and Dennis Smith. But that's not bad, though. That's not bad. I have a story behind the Smiths. One of the men that heard me speak in 2002, he was invited to a forum for World Vision. He was a Pentecostal pastor, a bishop, and he was a medical doctor. And when he heard that I was HIV positive, my CD4 count had dropped to 94, and yet I wasn't able to afford medication, he said the Lord told him, you need to save her life because I've got greater things ahead of her. And I'm here today because somebody by the name of Smith. So we appreciate them. We love them. We appreciate them. Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I know that I have family in this place. Apostle Chapoloka, my dad here, actually any older person in Zambia is your father. So I feel honored Apostle Chapoloka is here, and Evangelist Chapoloka as well. They are the parents of Victoria herself, actually. So thank you so much. I don't know some of you, if you've been to Zambia, there is a food we call Chikanda, and they are cooking for me tonight. It's exciting. It is exciting. It is exciting. That's why you hear me excited this morning. Anyhow, let's get back to the issue of HIV and AIDS. I'll try and rush up as much as I can. HIV and AIDS is an issue that I believe that this generation should get concerned about. And I am so glad that your school, your campus, is not only just talking about HIV and AIDS today, but as I've been told that you have been having different themes, and one of them reaching out to the community, and also today reaching out to people outside your community. I do believe that HIV and AIDS has to be the issue of our time. HIV and AIDS is our generation problem, and it is us to solve this situation. I tell people that if God knew that we couldn't handle it, he couldn't allow it for such a time as this. But the fact that the Lord allowed it, he knows that you and I can do something about it. And that is why we are so excited this morning. I don't know if you know, I represent an organization called World Vision. It is in over 100 countries, and with more emphasis on those countries that have been affected with HIV and AIDS, and mainly in sub-Saharan Africa. If you look at the statistics today, it will show you that over 30 million of those living with HIV and AIDS are in sub-Saharan Africa. And we talk about 15 million children that have been orphaned around the world. 12 million of those are in Africa again. Once more, it shows vividly that this is very evident in Africa. But I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning that this is not an African problem. Yes, it may have looked so big in Africa, it is big, but I think it is teaching all of us that HIV and AIDS is breaking the borders, the boundaries, and all rules that we have created as human beings. It is showing us that it knows no color, it knows no age, it knows no boundaries, it knows no borders. And so what can we do by that? We need to act just the way it acts. We need to forget thinking it's an African problem. We need to forget thinking it's only a gay problem, because the reality is, where I come from, HIV and AIDS is a heterosexual disease. It is a disease that has affected many women and children. Today, women and children continue to be the ones that are the faces of HIV and AIDS. But I also want to tell you that the women are not just the victims of HIV and AIDS. They have become the voices of change. They have become the voices of hope. They have become the ones who care for the orphans when there's no one to care for them. The situation right now where you have over 12 million children who have been orphaned, you find that children have been left to care for themselves. 12 million of those children are leading what is called child-headed homes, which means there's no adult to care for them. They are just on their own with no one to provide everyday needs, even any covering, and these children had to survive. Many of these children, I tell people that sometimes people ask, why do young girls have to make decisions that they know they may end up becoming infected? I say it only becomes real, or it is only for sure, if you only have one pair of shoes, that you don't have to ask what pair of shoe you wear the next day, because you know you only have one pair of shoe. Automatically, you put on that pair of shoe. That is the situation with many children in Africa, especially girls. They have nowhere to run to. They have nothing that they can look to, apart from getting married at a very young age. Some of them being forced to become young commercial sex workers at a very young age. Not because they want to, but they have to provide for their brothers and sisters. A different world altogether. But it is not a hopeless situation. There is hope. I know that many times as speakers, as people who talk about HIV and AIDS, we tend to bombard the audience with statistics and numbers. And many times people come out of the talks and the speeches and the workshops and the conferences feeling overwhelmed, hopeless. There is nothing I can do. But I came to tell you this morning that there is good news. There is something that is beginning in the colleges and universities within the U.S. There is a power that is being driven by the students themselves to say, we won't sit by when other parts of our generation and the other parts of the world, they are dying. We won't sit by and not be able to hold those that we have chosen in power to make something that will look to the betterment of the people around the world. And that is how Acting on AIDS was born. It was something that was driven by students in Christian College, and today it is in over 40 chapters. And actually, if you do not know that the third, I think, summit is coming up in Chicago, again, on the 15th to the 18th of February, there at Trinity Christian College. This is something you can find out and be part of. Urbana-Champaign is coming again. If I didn't let you down this morning, I'll be one of the speakers there. Come out and hear what other speakers have to say about this issue of HIV and AIDS. But I think it's not just the things that are happening because of Acting on AIDS. It is also the things that you can do right here on campus. And what are those things? World AIDS Day is coming up, 1st of December. Some of you know it. It is a time when you reflect on those that have already died with HIV and AIDS, those that are living with HIV and AIDS, and you as a body here at Geneva College, you have to do whatever you want. I have been so amazed to hear how innovative you are, how motivated you are, how you are doing different things out of your own way. And that is the beauty of acting on AIDS. There is no agenda behind it. There is no a script that every college should look this way. We believe that you are all created wonderfully, fearfully by God and designed on different assignments and with your skills and your talent that the Lord will use you mightily. But also, I want to say that there is a personal story that I have with that. And with that, I'll give you a scripture. Many of you know the scripture in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I didn't have my Bible this morning, but it's a scripture that I've even kept in my heart. And it's something that talks about the thoughts that the Lord has for each one of us. The Lord says, I've got plans to prosper you and plans not to harm you. Now, when you hear those words, and we know that the word of God is the authoritative word, the Lord is saying, I have got better plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You hear those words. Those words are for you. Those words are for me. Even though I have been HIV positive since 1997, not only have I been infected, but I have lost my mom and dad due to HIV and AIDS at the age of 17. And I became the one to care for my brothers and sisters. From there, I know what it is to carry your father over 15 kilometers to a clinic, back and forth with no food at all, and end up marrying as the only means of survival and only knowing that I was HIV positive myself. But yet, it doesn't change the scripture. It doesn't change the thoughts of the Lord upon my life. It doesn't change your thoughts on you either. It doesn't. It doesn't. But the reality is, it can sound very unreal. How could these thoughts be so real that if there are shootings that are happening in schools where children are innocent? How could this thought of the Lord be so real if there are children who are dying because they got infected from their mothers? They never even had to see maybe the next day or maybe their fifth birthday because they were infected with HIV and AIDS. How could those thoughts be so real? He continued to say, I have plans for you for a better life or for a healthy life and a better future. How could you say there will be a better future for the orphans that are being left behind? Because God is God and he is who he is and his word never changes. Those are real. Those are the thoughts he has for children around the world. Those are the same thoughts he has for the orphans. Those are the same thoughts he has for the widows. James 1 verse 27 says, if there is any pure religion God the Father asks of us, is to take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress. And the church will be asked this question, did you do that when people were dying of AIDS? Or did you say, we are the church, this is not our problem, or it is a world problem? But yet the Lord is saying that those are the thoughts that I have for everyone around the world, including Zambia, including Zimbabwe, including Botswana and South Africa, where the statistics are almost 40% of the population is HIV positive. The Lord is saying they are the same thoughts I have. The question to you and I today, this morning comes, will we be those that will make those thoughts of the Lord come reality and practical to the orphans around the world? In your own time, as you study, will you consider ensuring that you influence your faculty, your professors, and other lecturers that HIV and AIDS is not just a by issue? It is an issue that can be integrated even in your millions of those that are living with HIV and AIDS today. You and I, God is calling us. There is a very common story that many of us have known, and I do understand that there is a movie that is coming out, One Night with the King. It is a story of a young woman who was an orphan, and this woman ended up, by God's grace, becoming a queen. And one time, her people were to be murdered. And one of the men, her uncles, said, Do not think that you keep silent and that you won't be harmed. Who knows that God brought you to that royal place for such a time as this? And I know that that was that time, but we can contextualize that message for our generation and for the issue of our time. God is calling you and I to not be silent about the issues of injustices around the world, to look at what are the millennium goals and how far have the people reached to obtain and even to fulfill those millennium goals. So this young girl risked her own life when she wasn't supposed to see the king. And yet she put her word and went and said, if I perish, I perish. But for the sake of my people, I will risk my life. I believe that this is a very powerful story. It is a story of young Queen Esther. Now, you may say she was a queen. Yes, you are a student as well. Yes, she was a woman. But you may be a woman and a man. The fact that you are in this country where many of the things that you have, many people do not have. I do believe that God has allowed you to be here and to be born here or to be raised here for such a time as this. The question comes, are you ready to risk your life for these issues? Are you ready to commit some time to these issues of HIV and AIDS? What are you to do about it? First of all, just educate yourself. Because how will you go out there if you do not know much about HIV and AIDS? And this is why, as World Vision, as Acting on AIDS, we feel humbled, we feel honored that you could invite us in your special moment, your sacred moment, when you come to the Lord, that we could share the burden of our world today. So God is counting on each one of us to say, what are you saying to me, Lord? Where are you directing me? Is it just to educate yourself and then go out there and educate other people? Maybe that is what God is calling you individually and also collectively as Geneva College. Maybe it is just to rally yourselves behind those people you have put in power to say, we'll hold them accountable for the things of this world. We'll hold them accountable for the children that we hear about are being murdered in places like northern Uganda, and to ensure that the peace plan are being put in place. The world can look so big, especially when you feel overwhelmed and paralyzed. But I remember when I learned my HIV status in 1997, it was so clear for me that, Lord, if I'm going to live for 3 months or 6 months, this is what I am going to put my life for. And little did I know that by starting in Zambia, just going in schools, even going to companies where many people said, what has she got to talk to us about? Hitchhiking with truck drivers alone, many times dressing up, pretending I was a young commercial sex worker. And when the truck drivers picked me up, then I tell them I'm on a different mission. I am on a mission to tell you about HIV and AIDS, but also to tell you that Jesus is Lord. And little did I know that that would move me not just in Zambia, to even travel your world, to even meet with your president, to even meet with you this morning. That is God. But I didn't start out knowing even that there is an NGO world. It's because I felt I wanted to do something about it. It would have been very easy for me to complain to the Lord. Why me, Lord, that my parents died of the same disease? Not just my parents. My brother, our firstborn Kelvin, died of AIDS. My younger sister, Linda, she couldn't make it. She was infected from my mom. She died from AIDS. And yet, to find out that I was HIV positive, something that only God could do, he gave me the peace that passes man's understanding. In the midst of knowing an incurable disease is in me, but I said to myself that with God being with me, I shall not die before I'm dead. And I would do anything to educate anyone, to tell them my story, which is the story of millions of children around the world. They still cry today. The widows still pray. The orphans still cry and pray. Will you be that one? that we hear the 15 million children that have been left behind with no one to care for them. Statistics show us that if nothing is done, by 2010, there'll be 25 to 30 million children infected by HIV and AIDS. Now, somebody to put it in a way that you could understand, I guess, as Americans, it is a population of the whole Texas and Arizona put together. That would be the amount of orphans that would be created by 2010. I don't know if you are like me when you hear that Russia, India, and China will become another Africa. I don't know what happens in your heart when you hear those statistics and numbers. To me, I say, we don't have to wait for another continent to become like Africa. We can learn from the mistakes of Africa, but also the successful stories from Africa. How has Africa contained the situation? How has Africa continued to care for the orphans? Many times, the church, which was a sleeping giant, has awakened to the occasion, taking care of the orphans. Different NGOs, just like I continue to learn, many grassroots organizations, even today, as I learned that even the Chapel Locos has a ministry in Zambia called Hope Ministry International Life. There are people on the ground saying, what can we do? So my brothers and sisters, the people in Africa, the people around the globe, the women and the children, they are standing up. They are changing their behaviors in many cases. A country like Zambia, which infection rate was 21%, In 1993, today, the infection rate in Zambia is only 16.5%. That is good news. Uganda continued to be a model, which infection rate was over 20%, and today it's less than 7%. This is an indication to all of us that yes, in a hopeless situation, in an incurable disease, God can still use that situation to teach us the simple word that many times we have used and not yet walked, the word love. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with us as we fight this and know that God will work it out? For the word of God says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, confess their sins and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I shall heal their land. I believe there is hope with the HIV and AIDS issue. Will you be that one who stand in the gap? God bless you, and thank you for having me this morning.
Stay standing. Remember the other opportunities to hear Princess Zulu and the other opportunities that have been mentioned. There'll be other announcements making you aware of ways in which you can help. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this challenge. It's a rebuke to us because we as a nation so often say, well, so long as it's not here. Lord, we confess that. We ask for your forgiveness. We pray that you would make us sensitive and cause us to take action for the sake of Christ, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.